can make it. Yes, you can. By Sounds of Blackness. Hold on, a change is coming. And of course, I got the right man who's going to effectively make change here in the state of Pennsylvania, none other than our own, the one that we do claim and are proud of, the great Senator, State Senator Vincent Hughes. I may be prophesying on the U.S. side, but we'll see what God has to say about that. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Bishop Mary. How are you this morning?
I am fine. Thank you so much for joining me. Of course, we are dedicating the show to the lay family and to the shooting of Joel Osteen in Lakewood Church, and we're keeping our hearts and our prayers with them, in particular the East Lansdowne tragedy that caused us to lose three children and three adults. And investigations are ongoing, and we're just praying God's sweet comfort on them. But right now, we are happy to have the leading Democratic. I heard this phrase a number of times, and every time I'm around the circle, I hear the same thing. This is the money man. The money man, the money man, the money man. I just need to be attached, or should I say I just need to touch the hem of the garment, amen, so the blessings can flow me way.
Mr. Mayor, you crazy.
I am, Monday morning, right after Sunday, hey, and I got my preach on twice yesterday. God bless you, amen, don't hurt nobody, ain't trying to do it, but I was excited for you being here today. Last week, I watched intently the governor's address to the state of Pennsylvania, which was, in my opinion, one of the greater addresses I had heard in a while. Certainly not shading anyone else prior to that, but he was just straight up like, come on, y'all. I mean, when he was starting to break down in the vernacular, I was like, oh, he got a little black up in there. Okay, come on. And it was, I was hollering, trying to be calm. I was grateful. I wish I had been there in public, but then I said, I might have thought it was a church service and wouldn't have been dignified in my seat. But he hit on a couple of things that I certainly want you to kind of advise and help us to understand a little bit better. One of the things was his push for legal marijuana. Mm-hmm. Now, some people may have an issue with that. Those of us that like to partake certainly don't. But those of us that are concerned it's going to increase crime and violence, what is the full or the nugget of that particular issue?
Well, we've been looking at legalization of marijuana. We've gone down a process, as most states have, of decriminalization of marijuana for a number of years now. A number of states have fully legalized it, and there are significant economic benefits to that, to the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I'm willing to investigate it, to study it. I think we need to slow walk this idea. I think there are lots of communities across Pennsylvania. Bishop Mary, you know as well as I do, the idea of having marijuana sold at every little neighborhood, bodega, corner store, in the 7-Eleven, what have you, is not a notion that is very appealing. Mm-hmm. We need to slowly, thoughtfully do the health research, do the structural research, do the control research, do the oversight research, so that if we decide to go down this process, that it is fully thought out and fully examined. As you know, I think you've heard me say this before, I need everybody's mind to be on straight, okay? Upright, thinking clearly, focused on the mission at hand. Whatever that mission may be, if it's the mission of moving up, if the mission is uplifting our community, then we need to be clear and conscious about what that mission is and act accordingly. So we just need to be really thoughtful and not rush in to this.
Absolutely. I think that careful consideration needs to be done in all things. Of course, everything that's done will not always work out or will always be for the best, but we are thankful for careful consideration that will be a benefit all the way around, particularly if those funds are going to be helping us in probably the issues of affordable housing, mm-hmm. issues of decreasing poverty lines, mm-hmm. absolutely increasing our hourly rate.
Mm-hmm.
If
mm-hmm.
that's going to help make people get $7.75 more an hour, which is not really, but it is at least comparable than $7.25. I think I can choose or not to choose to buy marijuana if I go into a store, no more than those that are smokers would choose to also want to be. Another thing that he talked about was the SEPTA funding.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, there's much woo-woo-woo around the Act 40. I had D.A. Krasner on my show last week who spoke very candidly about his opinion in regards to that and how we're going to be able to increase the funding. But then on the other hand, there's this, let me put it this way, disagreement as to how that, not the funding itself, but the prosecution per se, of anything that happens around SEPTA. Of course, recently a young man was shot at 15th and Market and died from his thing. So people can't stand on a platform and get a bullet in their head, and something doesn't have to change. I absolutely agree, Matt.
I think the notion of making sure that our mass transit system, which is the largest in the Commonwealth and one of the largest in the country, is appropriately funded, it is a way, is how people get from here to there. It's how folks get to work. It is the economy of this community, of this region. We have to make sure, though, that the investments made with the additional resources that come in are going to those things that really reflect the needs of our community. Are they going to clean and safe SEPTA stops, regional rail stops, neighborhood stops? Are the funds that are being utilized, you know, SEPTA is a huge economic driver. Are the funds that are being utilized, if there's diversity in their spend? Is it making sure that everybody in, and I see some of the guests that you had this morning talk about the economic, or talking about the economic reality of our community. Well, you know, when you have all these dollars coming in, is it being spent in a diverse fashion? But safety, cleanliness, and making public transit a welcome environment so that people can or want to utilize it. All right. Make it fun. Make it hip. Make it. You know, I'm getting down there. I'm saving $40 on parking. Yeah. You know. OK. And I feel safe. All right. And it's clean and upkept. All right. Kept up. Excuse me. And so those are the questions that have to be asked as we go down this path of making sure that a mass transit system is fully funded. I have no problem with fully funding it. I want to make sure that the dollars that are utilized are responsive to the needs of the community that wants to and expected to utilize it.
Absolutely. When I worked in town, I took it, listen, from Broad and Erie on the express. But sometimes coming through in City Hall, not only the odor, but those things that were not necessarily as appealing could be a deterrent. So sometimes I just drove in because I just didn't feel like the harassment or whatever it was that was going on. So I completely agree with that. I know the city of Philadelphia is also looking into expanding it into Bucks County so that there would be the L or the subway or whatever it is would be expanded to bring even those that are on the outskirts and drive more economic development here in our city. Naturally, of course, our mayor has a very aggressive plan within the city of Philadelphia to make it the safest, safest, cleanest, greenest city with a fair and equitable economic development for all. Amen. Well, I'm learning that line.
So am I.
Absolutely. I'm going to touch on one more subject, and then we're going to break for our sports moment, because, of course, we are hyped and happy for Andy Reid, but we'll get to that in just one moment. The issue of education, which you are probably one of your driving issues that you are best known for, is not only for the Philadelphia school system, from which you are happy to serve, but higher education, HBCUs. I'm particularly thinking about Cheney, where I'm very close to. My firstborn son is a graduate of there, and I had an aunt that was there for 35 years in the administration. So I grew up on Cheney's campus. I thought I was going to a country club when I would spend summers out there running around on the grass. But this thing about the education in particular in Philadelphia is something that we absolutely need. And I heard his robust funding that he's planning on sending. What will that do for us overall?
Well, I think, and we need to be clear how we look at the education funding issue. This is truly, Bishop, this is truly the civil rights issue of our time.
Yes.
It's truly the civil rights issue of our time. Education, the denial of education opportunities, quality education opportunities for Black and brown communities has been a reality for centuries. Okay. There were times, as you know, that if you were a teacher and you taught Black or brown children, you were fired.
Mm-hmm.
You were harassed. You might even been killed. Okay. And you know, the story of Frederick Douglass, when he was quietly, secretly learning how to read and write. And his teacher was removed from him once it was found out. So there's all kinds of history that goes on to the denial of education. Many folks, and I have to use this Bishop Merritt's point of context, many folks don't remember or recall that when the Brown versus Board of Education decision was made, almost immediately, thousands of African-American teachers and principals and school administrators all across the country were fired, almost immediately.
Lord.
Okay? It was replaced by white individuals with lesser qualifications.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
To do that job. So the context is important. The goal is to have every school a great school.
Yes.
The Commonwealth Court decided in February of 2023.
Yes.
That the way we fund education in Pennsylvania is unconstitutional, it's inequitable, and it's inadequate. And the governor, after the Basic Education Funding Commission released this report in January, the governor announced a bold investment of over $1 billion to invest in our schools as a foundation of a 5 to 7 year process to get to equitable, adequate, and constitutionality. And so now he put the proposal out. That's what you heard. You heard the proposal.
Yes.
Right? Now we got to fight for it.
That's right.
To force the legislature to adopt his proposal and turn it into reality. What that would mean, and I would recommend Dr. Watlington be a guest on your show at some point.
He's here.
He'll
be here next week.
great. So ask him what that means, what he could do with the schools and the progress that he's already making. It's already being made, all right? We are the fastest growing school district in terms of progress of any major school district in the country. We rank number one, all right? Think what he could do if we had a massive infusion of new dollars. Think what that would mean for our children. Think what that would mean for the teachers and the counselors that could be hired to teach our children and to support our children. Think what that could mean for fixing broken and toxic schools, all right? Think what that would mean for the contractors who would have the responsibility to fix the broken and toxic schools. There's a new school that's being built in West Philadelphia called Cassidy. The contractor is an African-American contractor. And he's driving a project. Many of the subs are African-American. It's a woman-owned company. You're going to love this, Bishop Merritt. It's a woman-owned company. African-American/Latino-owned company that put the concrete down.
Come on here.
Come on
here.
put the concrete.
You're okay? Asking me to jump up and dance, sir, and I don't have a B3 or an E-flat.
Something to work with, okay? So So this massive infusion of dollars into the education of our children is necessary, is just, and I want you to think about one last thing before you go to your sports break. Every time you see someone arrested, one of these young people arrested, all right, for, you know, shaking down the bodega, bum rushing the Apple store, or something like that. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir. Yes, okay? Sir.
Every time you see that, I guarantee you that that child got their education in an unconstitutional, inequitable, an inadequately funded school. They did not get what it is that deserve to have. And the consequence of that is their criminal behavior.
Absolutely. So
if we do the funding right, if we make the investments correctly, all right, it'll have a ripple effect in terms of outcomes. Some immediate, some may take a few years to be evident. But, you know, That sounds like scripture right there.
Hey, right. I was getting ready to say, you know, coming from Mount Carmel, I didn't know if Dr. Moore might have given you a verse or two, and you'd be able to.
I'm a trustee. I'm a trustee. Okay?
You don't have to change your voice, though. I understand. But it is pre-Valentine's Day, and who doesn't know that your pride and joy, you may say the better part of you, the best part of you is your wifey. Amen. The lady of the 7th District, none other than Shirley Ralph. She has won a Grammy. She's been all over the place. She did a poem for our 100th mayor. I mean, she is just excited, of course, being here. And you two have always spoke to the issue of voting rights. Speaking very loud and clearly without hesitation or unapologetically about the importance of voting rights. I'm hoping you'll be able to come back to talk about what we need to do to win this election, because Pennsylvania is really in a downward spiral itself. But just to that point, give us a point on the importance of voting and why we need to do it.
Well, you know, we could... Bishop, we could go on and on, but I'll be as Mayor Street used to say, I'll be brief no matter how long it takes. Okay? So Cheryl and I have been advocating for voting, doing voter education, doing whatever it takes to get people to understand the importance and the value of it. And I'll just say one thing.
Okay.
You always be mindful about how people spend their money. All right. Always be mindful about how people spend their money, because that is a clue of what their agenda is.
That's correct.
Right. Now, what we know most every election, but certainly every presidential election, there are folks who spend billions of dollars to try to stop people from voting, especially Black folks from voting. They try to confuse the issue. They try to make the polling places inaccessible. All right. They try to, they send out media, social media, mail, all kinds of stuff like that. Emergency, emergency, emergency. Election day has been changed to Wednesday. It's not Tuesday. Okay. They use I've seen literature and ads, race baiting. All right. They spend billions. So if they're spending billions of dollars to try to stop you and me and the folks we love and care for from voting, then it must be an important thing to do. This vote, it must be important.
That's
because
right.
People are trying to get all of us to stop voting. Now, we could go on and on and on. We could talk about the work of Dr. King. We could talk about Bloody Sunday, Selma Montgomery March. We can talk about Reverend Jackson and his whole efforts that really put us, Jesse Jackson I'm speaking about, just to be clear, all right, that really put us all on the map to get us fully engaged at extremely high levels, and was the foundation or Barack Obama's ascendancy into the White House. We could talk about all of that. We could talk about education funding. We could talk about housing funding. We could talk about trying to get these guns out of our communities and how it relates to voting. But I said I would be making use a simple explanation for this conversation. If they're spending billions of dollars to try to get you and me not to vote, then it must be an important thing.
Absolutely. It is an important thing. And I'm hoping you will be able to in your busy schedule. I know you have the budget hearings and everything else, but I've got like 45 questions people want to ask the money man. And I know this will not happen in this forum, but I'm hoping you will be able to schedule you maybe for a whole show so you can answer these questions because people want to know. And I'm so grateful for you taking the time. Now y'all hear Luther and Gregory Hines singing There's Nothing Better Than Love. I'm going to give you this last 20 seconds to give a shout out to the one you love, sir.
My best half, my best half. My one and only no baloney, Cheryl Lee Hughes. Okay. Love her madly. Can't wait to see her. I got a plan.
Go ahead, bro.
I can't reveal it.
I know that's right.
But I would just say this, and you know, not to be the one to give out advice, but when you find someone special, it's a blessing.
It is.
It's a blessing.
It is.
And you got to take your blessings. You got to treat them kindly, nurture your blessings so they continue to grow.
Absolutely. And
I would just make that recommendation to anyone, who's listening. So you have a blessing, nurture it so it can glow and grow.
Wow. What a beautiful way to end our show today. Happy Valentine's to you, Senator, you and Lady Hughes. I hope that your plan works and you get a benefit from it. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Bishop Mary Show. Looking forward to the next time.